up with your high school sweetheart or your college love on the internet's newest social networking site.
Eastern High Class of 91.
Oh, there's Steve. Whoa. He really let himself go.
Introducing Assbook, the website that reconnects you with old flames and shows you how gigantic their rear end has become.
Oh, my God. Is that Julie? She's enormous. Oh, let's see. Options. Do I want to poke Julie?
Not anymore, I don't.
Social networking sites are huge, and so is the backside of your former prom date. And you can see it all on Assbook.
Other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Guy Who's Turning Into His Father.
Mr. Guy Who's Turning Into His Father.
When you were a kid, you swore you'd never turn out like your old man. But now that you have kids, it turns out you swear just like your old man.
You lousy kids, clean up this
Sure, you want your kids to think you're hip and happening, but still find yourself screaming, turn down that awful jungle music for crying out loud.
And you don't care how you dress.
You've had that members-only jacket for 25 years.
Even the Goodwill doesn't want it.
So the next time you find yourself saying, back in the good old days, or this must be the new man, look in the mirror, ignore your nose hair, and say hello to Mr. Guy Who's Turning Into His Father, a real American hero.
Mr. Guy is turning into his father.
Come here, boy. Pull my finger.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the Morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning. It's Thursday, April 29th. One more day in April is history.
Man, why you gotta talk like that?
What do you want me to say?
I don't know. It just everything's so intense.
Yeah. Bring the mic up a little bit. It's too low. A little higher. There you go. Just push it up and then down.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
You're good.
Now I can't barely see.
It's okay. You don't need to see me. Just imagine what I look like. You know, in some radio stations, people don't even look at each other when they talk.
Why?
Yeah, they kind of, I don't know, stare at the wall or something. It's because of the arrangement they have in the studio.
Oh, that's stupid.
I know. So be grateful that you can see me. And I'm
so grateful, Sam.
Yeah. And be able to look at my pretty face every morning.
Every morning,
there you
Sam.
Go. You see, it's a good sight. It's a good sign.
There you go. Your hair is getting less blonde every time I see you.
Yeah, it's getting gray again. Mm. Yeah.
Looks
right?
Good. Yeah, it looks good, though.
Yeah, I know.
I like it. It's the growing out phase.
Yeah. I don't think I'll ever be able to get it back to this color, but let me tell you, I'm not putting any more color on my hair. That's it.
Enough of that.
I'll go back to the way I was and embrace that. Embrace my
but
age.
But do you regret taking the chance and the risk?
I guess not. You know, I mean, it was worth a try.
You did
For a
it.
Few days, I felt really ridiculous, but other than that, it's okay.
But isn't it kind of cool going into, hey, I've never done this before. I really want to try it. Like, honestly, I want to dye my hair black.
Yeah.
I do, but I don't want to stay that color. I just want to be that for a little bit.
I see. Okay.
And it's such a harsh change on blonde. Uh-huh. So you have to really decide. And all my photos are in blonde and my headshots. So it's...
Right.
It's if you're doing acting stuff or whatever, it's like you have to change everything.
Yeah.
So you have to I wanted to have pink in my hair one time.
Yeah.
Which I know now I could probably do that like clip-on pieces and just for fun, you know, kind of a cute rocker look.
Right.
Not that that's original because a lot of people have done that, but just for fun.
Right.
But again, it's you change one thing and you have to change a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're killing me with that microphone.
I know, you hate it when I move it around.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, you can keep it high and just push the pop stopper down a little bit.
I don't even know what that is.
Screen,
you just
the
use
screen.
It. Oh.
That screen there.
There we go.
You see?
That's what it's
you
called.
You just got to be a little creative.
It's called the pop stopper?
Sounds
like a new dance.
Yeah.
Do the pop stopper.
Because
beep,
you pop
beep,
when
beep,
you say peas and bees. Peas and bees.
But I still hear you popping.
Yeah, but it's not as bad. And plus on the recording, you don't really hear it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But relax, okay? Relax.
I am relaxed.
We're not popping. Don't worry about it.
I'm not stressed.
I know. You look actually pretty tired. I mean, the way you're talking is a little bit slow.
Let me tell you, and you know me, because I'm like, blah, 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 blah. We had a little get-together last night, and we had so much fun. So I had to show them the new dance that I learned at Work on the Park.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, it's a good jam.
Where did you learn that dance?
San Diego.
Oh, I see.
When I was supposed
okay.
to be managing a bunch of people.
Right.
I got out on the floor.
You learned to dance.
I did. Well, it's the end of the day, and there's, well, this one was actually in the middle of it, but there's a bunch of different things that they were teaching. Then I was like, I'm going to go for it. You know, it's not going to kill anybody. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, went in there and started dancing and made everybody else work.
Where did you go dancing?
At the event. They actually had a big park where people were learning workout routines, and some of them were dances.
Oh.
So I just jumped in the middle of the park and just did my little dance, and, you know.
I see. Okay.
It was fun.
Yeah, it sounds like fun.
Do you know that song by Jamie Foxx? Blame it on the got you feeling loose. Blame it on Patron, got you feeling Blame it on the alcohol. Blame it on the ooh-wee. She spilled some drink.
Thank goodness I don't know that song, man. It sounds awful.
Well, the lyrics are actually pretty bad, but if you take it humorously, it's not bad.
I see.
But also, it's just a really good dance beat.
Yeah. So, I mean, how did you end up in the park? Did you know about this thing?
I
mean,
yeah, no. I was working, I told you this, I worked in San Diego.
Right.
There's a bunch of vendors surrounding the event.
Right.
It's like an expo.
Right.
But in the middle, like it's a big horseshoe in the middle.
I'm talking about yesterday. I mean, you said you did something dancing yesterday.
No, the dance that I learned in San Diego, I taught last night to
I
people
see.
At
Who
my park.
I see. Who did you teach?
Well, I more or less just gave them a floor show. They couldn't keep up. So they just kind of watched. A bunch of friends that we had over.
Well, you're telling me in bits and pieces, you know?
I know, I'm tired. It's like it's like a stream. I'm like, yeah. And then
you're answering a totally different question.
So, what's your problem? Why can't you make sense of this? Yeah, you're right. No, we had a little get-together last night with some friends, and we're doing this thing where... Okay, let me explain this. So, Sarah and I and Claire, we just like people. We like having a good time. Mm-hmm. If we could figure out how to party all the time, but not really party. I don't even like using that word because that means a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So just hang out with people and meet new people. I think we would, but of course we can't. Mm-hmm. So, but through our travels and just, you know, day-to-day routine, and we meet different people in LA, you know, we befriend people, and then we have these little, we call them wine, cheese, and chats, which are just basically hangouts. And basically we invite people that are good friends that we've had for a long time, and we invite new people and, you know, just basically have some drinks and some appetizers and just chat. Every time is different. Sometimes it's, the music gets going and it's a little bit dancey like it was last night. And then sometimes it's strictly just good debates and talking and conversation.
Right.
So that's – but what's cool about it is that it's a constant discovery of people. Mm-hmm. And especially in Los Angeles, there's just such a lack of community, and everybody's lonely. Mm-hmm. I mean, you may not know because maybe you've lived here single.
No, I know exactly. I mean, I've lived here for 30 years.
Yeah.
I know what social life is like here.
Yeah, it's interesting. It could be like a lot of busyness going on, but you're not necessarily in it.
Yeah.
You see things and fun, but you're not necessarily plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's just a real need for people to just have places they can go just have dinner with people.
Yeah.
Simple. Just have some dinner.
That's true. I mean, that's a good idea, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if you guys like people and everything, you get to mix quite a bit.
It's just basic. It's just like go have dinner, and it's a typical Tuesday, but just have dinner, not alone.
Right.
Have it with friends, and everybody brings stuff, and we have a good time. Mm-hmm. And it's cool because we were getting to know some of these people, and a lot of them have expressed, one guy in particular was just like, he's like, man, I'm just so lonely.
Really?
He's working, and he's by himself, and he's, you know, goes on hikes and stuff, but I just hasn't, you know.
Yeah, it happens a lot in LA. A lot of lonely people.
Yeah,
lonely
it's not. Hearts. It's just sad because I don't feel like it. Nothing should be that way, but it doesn't have to be that way. It's just a very self-centered. Everybody's so self-focused that when you do want to be around people, Well, you haven't really put down the phone, even put down your plans to invest in people.
Yeah.
And now
I don't know if you can say everyone is self-concerned. You know,
no, but culturally you can.
Well, you know, I don't know. But what I do know is many people move here from other places, so they don't have family here, you know.
That's true.
And with family, you definitely get lonely. And then finding friends, you know. I mean, that's one thing we have generalized about, and that's, you know, that you can't really find great friends here in this town.
Well, you can, but everybody moves here with a purpose, mm-hmm. which isn't to make friends, and it's not to build a family. Mm. It's for their career. So think about walking down a street or being in an atmosphere where everybody's solely thinking about their next move, mm-hmm. their next business card they got to get print, their next headshot. They're thinking about this audition. They're thinking about how they can get the agent. They're thinking about the next project they've got going on, da, 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 da. And it's constantly me, 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 me. That's the thinking, all in the name of quote unquote business, entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. And so when everybody's nonstop thinking about their career and their next move, well, people don't unplug to actually sacrifice thinking about themselves to actually start up a conversation with someone and get to know them. It doesn't happen as frequently or as fluid. And when you do talk to people here, they think you want something from them.
Yeah, that's the thing. And maybe you do. You know, I mean, many people probably think, gee, what can I get out of this new person I just met? You know, what can they do for me in my career?
Oh, everybody
thinks
that, yeah.
So, and then it comes across that way, you know, and then you get turned off by these people and you move on, you know. But I don't know. I've been screwed by a few people here in this town, but it happens everywhere, you know.
It does.
It happens everywhere.
Yeah. But how long were you single in L.A.?
A long time.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what was that like for you? I mean, did you experience...
That was like in the 80s that I was single, mostly.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I had quite a few friends and stuff, you know, mm-hmm. dating and all that. So, but those were different times, you know.
Were they?
The 80s were a different time, yeah. You wouldn't know you were a baby, right?
Yeah, I was born in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. I'm going to be where you
it's
are
amazing.
One day. Okay. Well, I've got friends that are born in the 90s. I'm like, what?
Or really?
Like late 80s. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
It's like when I was in high school.
It's less than 20 years old.
Well, I mean, more like late 80s, but still, it's weird.
Yeah.
It's still weird. Especially, like, I don't know. I have a real ageist attitude when it comes to dating.
Mm-hmm.
I have to kind of remind myself, if a guy that likes me is 26, that's not bad. But to me, I think of like a 26-year-old as knowing absolutely nothing.
Mm.
I think of them as mentally underdeveloped, intellectually not cutting it.
Mm.
Which I know isn't true.
Yeah.
I mean, 26-year-olds, I was 26. I was really smart at 26.
Yeah. So, you see, that's the thing. You can't generalize about people.
But I'm just not. I just think of like younger guys as completely mm-hmm. fun and inferior to me.
Mm. Wow.
That's strong language.
What
but
an
I
attitude.
I like saying it like that because it's got a little bit more hype and fun to it. But underneath it all, I just disqualify them as being a match for me because I think, come on, 26.
Yeah.
26.
So,
even though I'm only a year
than you
and a half older.
Stand a chance, right?
Yeah. You know, at this stage of my life, I would say I'm 28.
Yeah.
So a 26-year-old, that's not a big age gap.
Right.
But it just seems like those are fundamental years
mm-hmm.
that I can't. Like if I was in my 30s or 40s and there was a two-year age difference, and he was younger, not a big deal, right?
Right.
Because
but you think in the 20s it is still a big deal?
I feel
deal?
Like in the 20s, there's just a different kind of, like, you're still trying to figure so much out and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Well, maybe there's something to it. I don't know.
I don't know. I know some girls like it.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. So, so you went to sleep late last night?
I went to sleep really late. I slept in this outfit.
Really?
Yeah.
Somebody
told me I looked nice at the coffee shop. I said, oh, thanks.
Yeah, if only you knew, right?
If only you knew I slept in this outfit. But I sleep in all my clothes pretty much.
Yeah. Why do you do that?
Because I'm a lazy person.
You're too lazy to get ready for bed?
It's just kind of like take the bra off, throw off your shoes, fall asleep, wake up. Sam didn't know I wore this last night. I'll just throw my bra back on.
I see.
Shoes. It doesn't even matter. It's easy. I'm on a radio.
Yeah, but come on.
Come on, Sam. Come on. Come on.
I think more highly of you.
Why don't you go ahead and get a nice pressed blouse and get a nice smart slack and some good, you know, comfortable tennis shoes. I don't know. No, I mean, I look cute.
I mean, do you, well, yeah.
I take showers, yeah. I took a shower yesterday.
I see.
Actually, yeah, I took a shower yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah, I'm going to take one before I come here.
Why not?
not the hell going to happen, Sam.
Really?
No.
You can't leave the house without taking a shower in the morning?
Oh, yeah, I can.
Really? Ooh, I can't even wake up without.
Well, I'm telling you, my crunch factor is pretty high. Meaning, I have a high tolerance before I get super crunchy.
Mm.
Meaning, like, it's, you know, I'm going to have to really skeeze it up. I'm going to have to get really, really dirty. But for me, I mean, I mean, look at me. Like, my hair still looks kind of cute.
Mm-hmm.
My outfit looks cute. Yeah. I don't smell.
And you don't sweat?
If I run, I ran yesterday, so right. I took a big shower.
Right.
Yeah. I got to go to the bathroom, Sam.
You do? Okay.
Let's take a break. Sorry, guys.
Okay, we're going to take a little break. We'll be back right after this.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio. Your real talk station. Your real 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
Starting line.
Shitty Talk Radio proliferates the internet, two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Kara in the morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, sorry about that. That was an emergency.
Well, I had to go. I'm sorry, guys. I can't decide when coffee's going to kick in. My bad.
Can you imagine if you were like Larry King and you have a million people watching you and then you go, let us take a break because I need to take a shit, you know?
I'm just saying. I mean, I can't believe I even tell you guys this stuff. But
yeah,
it's like
you don't have a choice.
Well, I don't have a choice.
You're taking a break in the middle of a show.
I have to go. Second of all, I don't have to see anybody that's listening. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't have to see anybody that's listening. So I don't know who's listening, and I don't have to feel stupid or embarrassed. Although right. It's such a, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But then, Sam, it's funny. I was just sitting here. Actually going to the bathroom. I was sitting there thinking about you, Sam, going like, poor Sam. Like, I tell Sam everything. It's funny. Because, like, what if we know each other a few months now, and you haven't heard about all my intimate everything? I'm going to be Harriet. Sam.
Yeah.
I was laughing.
Well, are you good to go? I mean, are you good to continue?
Listen, I'm good at this moment, but I'm just letting you know.
Don't start, okay? You're going to have to go. I'm going to bring you a little pod here and you can go in.
It's just, you know, it's...
The show must go on,
my dear. The show does go on. The show just took a little breather. That's all. So who do we have coming to the studio today?
We have a friend of the show named Reese.
And he called in that one time.
Yeah, remember that time
he called?
Okay,
this will be funny. So now I have to look at the person that...
Yeah, and he's a lot of fun, so
okay.
He should be here in a little bit.
But do you see the irony in that? I was just saying how like I open up about everything and uh-huh. I don't have to see the people that listen. And now
right.
We have a listener.
And now you have a listener
who,
that's going to see
who specifically called in on the show when I had my roommates on and we were like airing everything.
Uh-huh.
He's like, you girls are ridiculous. You're cracking me up. I can't believe you're telling everybody this stuff. I'm like, that's fine. I'll never have to see you. Boom. Today. He's coming in. Do I look like a girl?
That's
do I look
the way
feminine?
It goes. You look fine.
I have to cover up the fact
that... He's going
to
hit on you, I'm sure.
He's going to hit up on... Is he going to hit up on all this? He's going to hit up on all this.
Yeah.
So what are you doing this weekend?
It's Friday. I told you... No, today's not Friday. Tomorrow's Friday.
Oh, my gosh. What's today?
Thursday. Yeah.
Oh, today's Thursday.
Today's Thursday, my dear. You still have a day before.
Oh no, that's okay. I like it.
Yeah.
More days, more everything.
More everything. There you go.
Thursday. Okay, Bible study night. I don't know.
So like I told you, I'm getting my tooth extracted tomorrow, so I'm probably gonna be home this weekend.
What time just tomorrow?
Nursing my teeth. And what time?
Uh-huh.
Is that what you were asking?
Yeah, what time?
Tomorrow, I don't know, around noon or so. 12:30.
Really?
Yeah. I should be okay, right?
Nervous?
I mean,
you think they're
I'm nervous.
Little laughing gas. Do they do that still?
I think they still do that. I know that's what they gave me when they took out my wisdom teeth.
Like back in the 70s,
but
right?
But I think with one tooth, I don't know if they do that. Just Novocaine, I'm sure.
Just ask for the good stuff.
Yeah.
Say, hey, let's you know, I want to get my money's worth. You have insurance, right?
That's true. Yeah.
Of course you do.
Oh, you mean with the I mean, it could loosen me up a little bit, that laughing gas.
Tell them, say, look, I think the gas is what I need.
Yeah.
What does it feel like?
I will.
Laughing gas.
It's weird because it's like you're in another state of mind. You're aware of what's going on, but you're not really feeling anything, and it doesn't really make sense to you, you know? So it's
okay.
Like I was aware something's going on in my mouth, but I didn't really know what it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had my wisdom tooth.
Weird.
I had my wisdom tooth pulled, and it was emotional for me.
Really?
Well, because I grew up not going to the doctors a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it was really, I didn't expect, I cried actually.
Yeah.
I was like in the chair like crying,
mm-hmm.
partly because there was some pain, not major, but there was some pain there. But also just the fact that somebody's like cutting into your body and taking mm-hmm. something out.
Right.
Because I've never, you know, it just was such a weird concept and I felt very like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get killed or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe it's wild imagination.
Yeah, it is.
You know, like maybe it's just the imagination of just, you know.
Yeah, being young, I mean, you think about all these things, you know.
Yeah.
When you were a kid.
I don't know. That's crazy, though.
Yeah.
That's really crazy. Have fun. Good luck. Let me know the gas.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I'm going to enjoy that a lot.
You will. You're going to have a time in your life.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm nervous, though. I mean, it's not a big
it's
deal.
It's because somebody's going to be cutting
in
into your jaw. They're cutting into your skin, into your
right.
thick gum skin,
right.
and they're prying that shit open, and then they're extracting a big bone,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to make noise, and then it's going to break off while they're still cutting.
It doesn't
and then
make
they have
noise,
to then yeah, they do. And then they have to go back, and they have to suck out the other pieces of the bone that are in there.
Really?
Yep.
Did you have to tell me all that?
Yep.
No, you didn't.
Yep, make it exciting for
you.
Yeah,
now I'm really...
Make it really, really exciting for him.
Maybe I'll skip it altogether.
Today's a gorgeous day, Sam.
It is a gorgeous day, except it's really windy, and I'm here to tell you I'm fucking tired of this wind.
What?
Okay? Yes.
What's your problem?
It's like so gusty.
Who gets pissed off at wind?
You see, I do.
Yeah, I know. That's funny.
Especially when it's cold and it makes me shiver.
Who gets pissed at wind? It makes me shiver. It makes me clutch my
top. No, but it blows everything away. You know, I mean, I can't sit outside. And to me, it's important.
You guys, this is about Sam's little nook of the world, which is on his patio where he does most of his business on his laptop.
Exactly.
And now his little patio area is getting a little screwed up and a little jacked up by the wind.
It's not now. It's always been like this. I mean, it rains. I mean, the wind just doesn't stop for days. I don't know, but it's not only that.
It feels so fresh,
though. It dries me up and everything, you know? It's like I can't breathe. I don't know.
Go out for a hike.
No, I mean, it does make everything fresh, but it doesn't have to go on all the time, for crying out loud.
Oh, Sam.
It doesn't bother you, huh?
No, I love it. I feel like a dog that puts their head out the window with the tongue slobbering. I'm like,
oh,
this
really?
Is awesome.
Yeah, you're weird.
No, I'm not. I just love life.
Uh-huh.
I went on a beautiful run / hike yesterday.
Yeah, but what does it have to do with loving life? I love life
because
too,
I enjoyed the wind and greeted the wind and was like, hi, wind. And the wind kind of smacked my face around a bit and twirled my hair and I was happy.
Right. But you said you don't like rain. Right?
No, I don't get super amped up about rain. It doesn't do me the same way it does other people, but I still appreciate it because it's nourishing and we need rain.
Right. You see, but you don't really like it. So I don't like wind. What's so weird about that?
I don't know. Wind is funnier. You're like, the damn sunshine is just so happy here.
It's, yeah, but it is beautiful outside.
Oh
not a cloud
gosh.
In the sky.
I'm getting my run on.
Yeah. Mm. So listen, this author here wrote about the differences between how to tell a male boss from a female boss. Okay, so check this out. And this is a woman writing this. A male boss is aggressive, a female boss is pushy. Isn't that kind of similar?
I'm wondering. I need to hear it before I start making my judgments, but let's just go for it for fun factor.
Yeah.
A lot of times they're the same.
Mm-hmm.
They're the same adjectives.
Mm-hmm.
But with the woman, there's a different spin they put on it because pushy and aggressive, really?
Mm.
Really? I mean, it's just like they say when men are firm and men are direct,
mm-hmm.
okay, that's one thing. But women, when they do that, it's called being bitchy.
Mm.
So I kind of wonder if it's the same things, but because mm-hmm. it's a female,
mm-hmm.
they put a very...
But it's a woman writing this. That's why I told you.
Oh, it is?
Yeah,
huh?
It is. A male boss is attentive to details. A female boss is picky. So,
I definitely see women that fit in that category. Was it every female? No.
No, I mean, obviously not everyone.
I mean, everybody knows that woman boss, but I know men bosses that are just as scatterbrained and they're micromanaging, but they don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
You know those kind of people?
Yeah.
They're like, so, and then this, that, and this, what's going on? Okay. Okay, great. Okay, no, I want you to do this. And they zero in on a detail
mm-hmm.
that's insignificant to the bigger picture, and they're not paying attention to what's really going on.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, these things sound like they're the same, you know?
Tell me what else is there.
He knows how to follow through. She doesn't know when to quit.
Mm.
Again, it sounds similar, right?
It sounds like a specific person that I think we've all met.
Mm.
But I don't think it's all female bosses.
I don't know. He's ambitious. She's driven. I mean, these are like, it's just different words of the same thing.
What's the difference between ambition and driven? Driven means...
Ambitious is, you know, you've got aspirations, let's say,
mm-hmm.
okay? And driven is, I guess, also having aspirations, I think, you know, being moved by
driven
something.
Driven means something is pushing you or something's driving you, like you've got something in you that you're making you want to do what you're doing.
Yeah,
so.
But I mean, I don't know if you have to translate it literally. I just think when they're saying someone's driven, it means that they have certain
Yeah, but there's a different force, like between ambitious and driven, what's the difference? There is a difference, but I don't really know.
Yeah,
it's very subtle.
That's what I'm saying, you know?
Yeah.
He loses his temper occasionally. She can't control her emotions. Okay, so that's a little different.
What is her point in this? And this is a woman? I don't know.
Yeah, a woman saying that there's differences between
is she gonna
male
be on the
and
show?
Female bosses. No. Why?
Oh, I didn't know.
No, this is on CNN.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He isn't afraid to say what he thinks. She's mouthy.
Mouthy. She sounds like a sexist.
Really?
Yeah, there's some women that are sexists out there.
Mm.
She sounds like a sexist. She's yeah. mouthy.
That's true. I mean, the adjectives she's using for women are not that complimentary.
No, well, she's trying to illustrate a point. And in a way, I understand because I've met bosses, women, female bosses like this. I have.
Right.
And that they totally fit what she's saying. But mm-hmm. that's not every female boss.
No, it's not. But, I mean, God knows you make a lot of generalizations, so you should be able to live
with
that.
Oh, I'm okay with it. But I'm just saying, I'm not saying I'm buying it completely. Like,
right.
the difference, the main differences between a female and a man boss,
mm-hmm.
I can't really say that I agree that that's that accurate. I feel like it's a certain kind of person that I've seen on both sides.
Right, right.
You know, so yeah, I've definitely yeah. worked with women.
It's just maybe they're talking about tendencies of people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, look, they say he's a man of action, which is a good thing, right? She's impulsive, which is not a good
Mm-mm,
thing, right?
No.
He controls his emotions. She's cold. Now, cold is a very negative word, I think. That's like, yeah.
Is she trying to say, but what's her point? Is she trying to say that women should not be bosses or that they're not as competent and effective as men?
Mm.
Like, I want to understand the results of this.
Yeah, these are some perceptions. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I definitely have met women like that. I mean, I'm trying to think, do I prefer to have a man boss or a woman boss?
Yeah. So, you know what I think? This is about perceptions. This is about how people view male bosses and female bosses. It's not necessarily that that's what it is.
Oh.
But, yeah, it's
well, then in that case, I completely understand.
It just shows you how people perceive women and men differently on a professional level, you know?
That actually makes a lot of sense,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of women, like I said, they can't win.
Yeah.
They can't win.
Yeah. Look what they say here. Average American woman earns approximately 21% less than the average man. Wow. I didn't think that still went on.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, it does, actually.
I mean, that's 1/5 less of men. You know, that's a lot. That's a lot. Crying is the worst emotion to show at the office, an expert says. Yeah, obviously you don't want to cry. You see, that's a problem that men have. Once a woman starts crying, it's like all bets are off. You know, how can you possibly argue with a woman when she's crying, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you say? You know,
do you feel like it's kind of like a trump card?
Yeah, I think it's unfair.
I think if it's, I definitely think it does. It shuts down stuff. But what if it's a sincere, kind of like they're just kind of sad?
Yeah, but I mean, still, it's like as a man, you don't know how to react, you know? And you feel you hurt her, and then you can't argue your point anymore.
Yeah. Well, see, I'm kind of more like a man in that regard.
Yeah?
Yeah. I feel like I've been in situations with people more that there's a, you know, certain cards are brought up that are, I'm mm-hmm. hurt, and... I don't know. I mean, I don't really have that as much, but I definitely know what it feels like to be hitting a brick wall
mm-hmm.
with somebody, you know,
right.
when they're very emotional and you can't get past the sensitivity to mm-hmm. actually talk about the issue.
Right.
I find that to be stressful.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, some people are really overly sensitive and you can't say what you feel because you don't want to hurt their feelings, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes a lot of effort and work, but I have some friends that don't give a crap. I mean, they will just tell you straight up how they feel. It's not that they're trying to hurt you. They don't feel a need to censor what they're saying.
Right.
And I think that can be destructive too, even if it's true what they're saying.
Yeah.
Because there's some part of it that is a somewhat personal responsibility for the person that's going through it. And then also, if you're the one kind of administering any kind of like, you know, criticism
mm-hmm.
or something, there's a certain kind of level of sensitivity and, I don't know.
It depends what the purpose is. I mean,
that's
if you're trying to teach them a lesson.
But you don't want to. You never want to humiliate people or degrade them. And I think that we even find in war and in history, like through looking at war, when you defeat an enemy, if you degrade your enemy and humiliate them, they will retaliate later, and you're building a monster.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to even if you defeat your enemy and then you build them back up,
right?
You give them their dignity.
Mm-hmm.
It totally changes.
Yeah.
I think it is
because after World War I, Germany was defeated and
yeah,
and
well, that's
humiliated.
What happened. And humiliated,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and then the Nazis came.
Yeah.
But so there's something to what you're saying, and then you know when we rebuilt Japan and Germany, you know they flourished. You know.
Yeah, well, I mean, U.S.
Good
is probably
point.
I mean, not to not. I mean, I know there's so much like anti-American kind of stuff going on in LA, but I mean, we are by far perfect, and we've made some horrible things. We've done horrible things as a country. But with that said, if you look across the board, the U.S. is probably one of the only nations that, when we have defeated our enemies, we actually go back and give them back their country. We don't occupy it.
Yeah, it's because it's not about hatred. You
it's
see?
Not. Well, it's not about taking over either. It's about establishing, you know, a peace and democracy, and so they rebuild their country. And
not only that, but it helps your interests, your national interests, you know, by you can you build bases there, military
yeah.
bases and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And so that's kind of empirical, you know, but we've always been like that. You know, somebody's got to be the policeman of the world, I think.
Well, a lot of people don't agree with that, but...
I know, but somebody has to, I think. You know, otherwise this world gets out of hand. Can you imagine the world without the United States right now? It'd be totally out of balance. Totally.
You know, I speaking of which, I was listening to Kiss FM this morning. Mm-hmm. And I don't listen to it a lot, but Shakira was on.
That's Ryan Seacrest's show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shakira, you know Shakira?
Right.
Oh,
the singer.
Yeah.
The South American singer. She's Brazilian, right?
Or no, she's actually Lebanese, and then she's from, I can't remember, someplace in South America, but I think her origins is Lebanese.
Right.
I'm not sure.
Right.
Anyway, I'm a big fan of her. I like her a lot. But she's actually campaigning to go to Arizona, which we talked about the immigration law that just passed.
Right.
And she's going to protest against the mayors and try to get them to, you know, she basically wants to fight the law.
Right.
Now, when I first heard the law, I was very kind of indifferent about it. And for those of you guys who don't remember what we talked about on the show, basically illegal immigration, illegal immigrants, basically they now have a bill passed or law passed that they can stop people and ask them for their identity. And if they're not legal immigrants, they will be deported.
Right.
And I was a little bit indifferent. I thought, well, it sounds kind of big brothery to me, and that there could be a real misuse of power. But then after I started reading a little bit more on it and was talking to more people about it, I started to understand the severity of what Arizona is going through. But before I go down my path, let me explain to you.
Right.
Shakira is sitting on this radio show,
right,
and she's just kind of going on about how she wants people in the country to not be divided but to have unity, and how, you know, these people work hard in our country and this, that, and the other. And here's my thing. Get some facts. People go off on points, and it's emotional. And she's an artist, and I get it. But it was everything she said was emotion driven, which is effective in getting people to listen to you and open up their hearts. Which
but
I think
it's not rational, though.
Well, it's not. Emotion alone is not rational. I'm not saying no emotion, but an emotion alone, because I feel like she's just deciding, well, I'm from Latina descent, I'm a Latino, and I look at the Latinos here, and they're working hard, and they just want a better life, let them be here. But she doesn't understand what's going on in Arizona. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand what was going on in Arizona. Do you know what's going on there?
Yeah. I mean, they're overrun by illegal immigrants.
And it's not just overrun, it's the drug cartel. Mm-hmm. It's the drug cartel. Mm-hmm. It's people that live 60 miles from the border, which is only an hour away from the border. They can't leave their home because when they come back, their home's occupied by drug cartel.
Right.
There is so much, there's so much raiding, looting, and crime that's happening in Arizona, and it's starting to become kind of like a mafia, a mafia type situation,
right,
which is why Arizona's saying, look, we need to start enforcing people that are not in this country to not be allowed to be here without the right, the respectful due process. And so we're not talking about immigrants, we're talking about illegal immigration,
right,
illegal immigrants. That, but then it made me go back to the idea, well, most people, or not most people, I think what people aren't getting is that illegal immigration, I mean, they're not supposed to be here in the first place,
right,
and all of a sudden we're the bad guys,
right,
because
right,
they're enforcing it.
Right. And the thing is that this is an immigration law. It's not just about Mexicans, you know?
It's not.
And but yet you see all the protesting coming from Mexicans, you know? Because to them it's like, I think, a sense of entitlement that they should be able to enter this country regardless of whether it's legal or not.
Well, you know what? I think it's, my heart goes out to people, and I,
you know, I don't hear immigrants from Canada complaining about this shit, you know?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So and that's why they're saying it's anti-Latino. Yeah, well, duh, you know, you guys are the biggest foreign population here, You know, you're overrunning this country completely. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous what's going on in L.A., you know?
Yeah, what are they doing? They're having protests?
No, it's just that there's way too many illegal ones here for Mexico.
Yeah.
And I don't think we need all these people here. You know, I mean, again, when people come from other countries, they're expected to have all their papers intact and expected to abide by the law. And yet these people come here and they couldn't care less.
That's the problem, too.
You know, they become a burden on the system and they don't even give a shit.
Mm.
You know, it's everyone.
I mean, I understand what she's saying. She's talking about the American dream and people wanting a better life. And I'm like, yeah, Shakira, I totally get it. I want people to have that opportunity, but people that are going about it illegally, mm-hmm. and then there's the section of people that are going about it illegally that are causing crimes, they're getting into traffic jam, crashes without insurance, mm-hmm. or getting
gangs. You know?
I mean, but apparently in Arizona, from what I read up, that actually the crime is really significant, and that it's they had a tea party about it, or they had a legislation meeting about it, and the people that wanted to go we can't leave our homes.
Really?
We can't even leave our homes to go, because if we leave our homes unoccupied, they will be occupied.
Mm.
They'll be occupied 60 miles from the border.
Mm-hmm.
And people are having, I mean, it's just the crime is ridiculous. So I guess what I'm saying is this isn't about just immigrants. This is about illegal immigration.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody that has papers or, you know, citizenship, it's like, that's fine. Go, you know, start doing what we're already supposed to be doing is what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just... I think it's just a really weird thing to infiltrate a country, to be there illegally, and then demand rights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't get that. I don't get that.
Yeah, that takes a
lot of
balls.
I would keep my mouth shut and just try to, like, you know, hey, I'm just blend in. I mean.
That's the thing. I see a sense of entitlement here with the Hispanics all the time.
Mm.
I really do. You know?
Yeah.
And maybe it's me. I don't know. But I see that. And it really
But you're an immigrant.
Unsettling.
You're an immigrant. I've got a lot of immigrants.
Exactly.
I've got a lot
you
of
know,
friends
but,
that are immigrants.
But I did what I was supposed to do. You know, I went through the legal channels. I always felt like I'm a guest here, a visitor, until I finally became a citizen.
Yeah.
You know, but I always respected and never demanded, never thought I was entitled to anything.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was up to me to fit in.
Well, you know what? A lot of my friends from Canada, it's the same thing. They don't come here like thinking they're thinking God, they're lucky stars that they're here.
Mm-hmm.
Even on they get their O-1 visa, they're like, thank you God.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just so
Everybody
grateful.
Wants to come here.
Yeah, and so I think it's really hard for the people that do. I mean, it's hard for the people that do approach the system the right way.
Right.
And they have to wait years, and they have to go back and get their papers again, and they have to keep, you know, redocumenting things and to prove that they can be in society. It's really hard for people that are doing it the right way.
Right. But you can see, I mean, I think what a lot of people agree is that something has to be done about immigration, but some people feel that the way it's being done is not the right way to go, you know, by just stopping people and asking them for ID. And I can see where that might be a problem, you know, but I do think there's a lot of different alternatives. And maybe we'll talk to Reese about that. He likes talking about stuff like that.
Well, it's interesting to me because it's like the one job that the federal government is supposed to do, which is protect the country, protect the borders,
mm-hmm.
is one of the things that they're not doing.
Right.
And yet they're overly involved
mm-hmm.
in like the private market, which is it's just not supposed to be that way.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be that way.
Well,
federal government has three basic things you're supposed to do, and the major one is protect the country.
Mm-hmm.
It's foreign policy. It's protecting the country. That's why we have states. States run states,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
right.
the umbrella over it. And this is what the federal government should have been doing.
Yeah, well, they should have, but they're busier busting people that smoke pot. You know, that's more important. So, you know, there you go. That's where all the resources go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then again, I also wonder, well, you know, what if I was born in a place like Mexico and it was, you know, no advantages there. Not that there aren't any in Mexico, but let's say I was born into a really low-income place in Mexico in poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't this build yourself up from nothing type society going on.
Right.
I mean, I would be crossing the border mm-hmm. and hoping not to get caught and work my ass off. I would do it. I don't blame them.
Yeah.
I don't blame them. But I think it's more the we're not talking so much the people that come here and that are just, you know, working hard. I think they're talking about primarily the drug trafficking and the crime.
No, I don't think that's the case either.
You don't think so?
No. No.
That's what's caused it, though. What's causing Arizona to step up and go, we're not doing this anymore, is the crime. It's not the people picking the freaking fruit and standing on the side of the road.
You don't know that.
No, but it's the... No, they're crime.
I mean, I'm telling you, I know this crime, but that results from a lot of illegal immigration as well, you know? They come here, they start their own gangs and shit, and start killing each other and everybody that stands in their way. You know, I don't know. Again, I don't think the way they're going about it is necessarily the right way, but I think it's time for reform.
But what are they supposed to, I don't understand, so help me out. Maybe you know more than I do. Mm-hmm. When someone's here illegally, there's a lot of people here in LA illegally.
Right.
I mean, it just seems like you can do it and there's no repercussions and you can just do it.
Right.
I don't understand. Like, do people not...
You can get a driver's license. You can do...
You can?
Oh, yeah. People do it all the time.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's just so... I just don't understand, like, what were the laws already on the books that weren't being enforced?
Right. I don't know.
And why not? I don't know. Anyway. But I just think it's interesting. But I think that Texas... There's other states that are now looking into... adopting this.
Yeah, like reform. I mean, something has to be done. And note that the people that criticize it is not the people that live on the border, you know? It's like those border states feel, you know, the need to do something, and yet, you know, someone in Illinois will tell them, oh, this is unconstitutional. This is, you know, the wrong way.
It's their own state, though. That's the thing. You don't...
Yeah.
It's their state.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people have, he says, I'm concerned about the whole idea of carrying papers and always having to be able to prove your citizenship.
What papers? Just have your fucking green card in your wallet, for crying out loud, you know?
And that's what other people are saying. And this is McDonald, who is Bob McDonald, from governor of Virginia. And I understand that, but, you know, you're right. It's just like you go to the DMV, you have to show what?
Mm-hmm.
You have to show your insurance. You have to show your license. You have to
show
everything.
I think you have to show Social Security now. But my point is
everywhere you go, you have... Like, another thing is that when you go to vote, why don't they make you show ID? They're not making you show ID.
No, they don't.
And some of the speculation is that Democrats are more opposed to this because a lot of the illegal voting fraud that goes on with illegal immigrants.
Right, this is the Democrat.
Yeah, and that if side, and yeah. that it's... I mean, that's... I don't know if I agree with that, but that's what I've heard from people that are discussing this, is that you know, one of their big populace that they get is through, you know, illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
And but don't you think it's interesting? People go to vote and you're not asked to show an ID.
Yeah, I know. And some places ask you, but I noticed, you're right, the last election, I don't remember they asked me for any.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So it's just not... they're one of the big populace to kind of support.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
You know, in the less advanced countries, they take your fingerprints, you know, that's proof that you've already voted.
Yeah. But I think what's happening, it says, okay, a fired up Mayor Bloomberg criticized Arizona's immigration law and warned that the U.S. is committing national suicide by failing to pass comprehensive immigration reform.
Right.
This is not good for the country. I don't agree with it. He said, Arizona's controversial initiative. We love immigrants here. So, again, there's an emotional playoff of immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't about immigrants.
Right.
It's about illegal immigration.
Right. And it's easy for him to talk because he's in New York.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't get that.
Yeah, you know,
he doesn't get a lot of the Mexicans there.
I just think it's interesting. It's like, it's not about we're not trying to turn away immigration.
Right.
It's illegal immigration.
Yeah, but they're just saying, I mean, people are just saying it's got to be comprehensive. It's got to be for the whole country. And I agree with that, except the government is doing nothing.
No, but the reality is that the states have legislation to govern how they want their country. I mean, when it comes to this. Yeah, the state. I'm sorry, the state.
Right.
And the government has failed to do its job in this department.
Right.
And so now the state...
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same with the marijuana in California, medical marijuana, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like... you know, people decided the hell with the federal government, you know. I mean, we want this, and we're going to have it, you know.
So. I guess my biggest issue was, like, getting the pop singer, who's Latina, to go and protest.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, you're an artist, and we all have something to say about this. I mean, not that I'm any more qualified or less, but I just kind of go, give me some facts then, Shakira. Like, don't get up there and be like, but I want that to be unity and not division. And this, I'm like, that's great. But do you know what's going on in Arizona right now?
Yeah.
Does she know what the issue is in Arizona? It's not just we hate immigrants. the illegal immigration population in specifically the drug cartel that goes through there and the crime has become where people are, you know, they can't leave their homes. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on there.
Right.
That they're at this point.
Yeah, and that's what they're not acknowledging, people like her, is the fact that many of her people or whoever she's trying to protect are breaking the law. Big time. Big time. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, and then they come here and they get phony papers and stuff, and that's even more breaking the law.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know what to tell you. But did you hear that in China, a man with a knife attacks kindergarten? Okay? He stabbed about 28 children, age 4. A 47-year-old man. Yeah.
And what do you say to that?
What do you say to that?
How do you even respond?
A
47-year-old man, was he insane?
Obviously not. Obviously not.
How obviously not?
Well, by doing something like this. I mean, who in the right mind is going to do something like this?
No, I said, was he insane? So you're saying, of course he was.
Yeah, obviously.
But is that like an excuse?
No, they said, the authorities said he carried out the attack because he was frustrated at failures in his romantic life. So I guess he got dissed by a woman or something, decided he's going to go and kill or try to kill, you know, 28 children. And 4 years old, for crying out loud, man. I mean, he should be hanged by the balls. By the balls, upside down. Fucking son of a bitch. You know, I mean, how do you protect
That's really awful. Your kids, when Sam gets all pissy, it's kind of funny. But anyway, you know, it's funny when you get pissy. I'm like, it's such a funny side.
Yeah,
no,
I mean,
is awful.
Things like this really piss me off, and I'm sure they piss everybody off. I mean, it's unfathomable to think of something like that, you know?
A 4-year-old kid gets stabbed. Do they all die, I'm assuming?
No, I don't think. They're saying that 3 of them are in critical condition. But,
three of them. How many did he kill, though?
He didn't kill any of them, apparently. They were all injured. Yeah, I mean, and how long does it take to stab so many people, for crying out loud?
Stabbing a little kid?
Yeah. No, I mean, 28 of them. That takes a long time.
Where's the teacher in all this?
Yeah, well, the teacher got stabbed, too.
It's not funny, but that's just...
It's not funny, but everybody else was... Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't expect something like this to happen.
The teacher got stabbed, and 28 kids got stabbed.
28 kids. Yeah.
That's just evil. There's an evil there.
There's a lot of evil there.
I mean, evil in that. I don't mean just there, but I mean, like, just fact that somebody's going to go and annihilate children.
Yeah, yeah.
What the F?
Yeah, what the F? What are you going to do, man? You know?
Oh, that's so sad.
So do you have any big plans for the weekend?
This weekend I'm going to lay low. I'm going to get a lot of running in. I have a bunch of... I have some follow-up things I need to do with some job stuff. And
Any gigs or anything?
Yeah, I'm going to... I need to work on that, actually.
Okay, work on that.
I will. I'll work
Please
on that.
Please report back.
Please report back. I've got a bunch of job stuff. I don't really want to say it on the air, though.
Uh-huh.
It's not like it's that. It's just, you know.
It's not that important.
It's just something that I, you know, not everybody needs to know next thing.
No, not everybody.
But when it comes to gigs, I'll let people know. But no, I have a thing next Wednesday, an interview next Wednesday, and then just some other stuff. I need to finish up some other things. I'm being vague.
Yeah, you're being very vague.
Being vague. I've got stuff to do.
I'm going to do this, and I wrap up that, and I have to take care of this.
Trying to look busy and important, and I'm transitioning. No, it's just stuff that, you know.
Yeah.
No, it's nothing illegal, nothing that big of a deal. It's just because then I have to divulge other stuff.
Yeah, and we wouldn't want you to do that, huh?
I mean, yeah. I mean, don't I give you guys enough?
Yeah, I guess.
Don't I give you guys enough of who I am? I'm going to get some good running in, though, this weekend. It just seems very beautiful.
Yeah.
And I think that I might do a trail run in Santa Monica.
I hope it gets so windy that you won't even be able to run.
You know what?
I hope
that the wind keeps going and just keeps tossing my hair when I run.
Okay.
And I hope that it makes your wind chimes go ching, ching, ching.
I know you do.
And I hope that
it
cools your coffee too fast. And
well,
makes
it looks like the trees over here are going to fall in a minute, you know, the way they're like. Yeah, you're not seeing it. Check it out right now. I mean, look.
It's pretty.
Everything's just blowing away here.
So pretty.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. Our guest should be here by now, and we'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station. station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Thank you. jump in on the conversation. Dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. Now, let's get back to Sam and Karen in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, and our beloved guest is in the studio. Good morning to you, Reese.
Hi, Sam. Thanks for having me back.
Thank you for joining us, man. This is cool.
This is the guy. This is the guy that when we had that show, the show with the girls that we were like letting it all hang out. The guy called. He's like, "Hold on, ladies. This is hysterical, but we really don't want to know all this." And I'm like, "It doesn't matter because you're not going to see you. I'm not going to see you. You're not going to see us. But it doesn't even matter. This is radio. Woo!" Guess he's in. He's in here.
So now he knows.
He's in this show. I have to look at this guy now after everything. Whatever. I'm not stressing. My point is, you've got a name called Reese.
Yes.
You got a name called Reese.
Uh-huh.
It sounds attractive.
Thank you.
In what
the name,
way?
Well, the name Reese sounds like a modely name.
Okay.
Doesn't it sound modely?
I don't know. It never occurred to me.
Think
that
about it, Reese.
Modely.
My name's Reese. My name is Reese.
It's got a Derek Zoolander thing. Is that what you're saying?
A little bit, yeah. I like it though.
I can do Ferrari, and I've been working on Blue Steel.
That's funny. That's
yeah.
Funny.
So Reese is a friend of the show, obviously, because you listen, and we really appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
And he's been in the studio once before with when Cherry was here.
That's right. That was a good time.
And you guys are good friends, right?
I've known Cherry for a long time. She's a lovely person, and I was so excited when she asked me to come in. It was such fun to be here with you and to talk. And anytime I get a chance to yak with people I like, that's a good day out. So.
And you're a smart guy, so it's always fun to talk to you and stuff.
Cheers.
So what have you been doing? I mean, I noticed you're not with your girlfriend anymore, right? You made it public on Facebook.
Thanks.
Do you do the thing on the Facebook where it's like it's complicated or I'm in a relationship and now I'm single? Because that pops up in everybody's thing.
It goes on everybody's news feed. The funny thing is I am single and she and I parted ways and I lament parts of that. She's lovely and she's, you know, it bothers me because she's so dynamite. I was so attracted to her, but there were things. There were big ticket issues that we came upon, and man, the open lines of communication honestly made the breakup better than some relationships I've been in.
Sure.
I mean, she set the bar pretty high for me. The next one I'm with is going to have to talk to me like she did because she was awesome. She was awesome.
Let's get to the junk though.
Honestly, it really was the big ticket
issue.
But
let's talk about what are your deal breakers? What are the big tickets? Like serial killing, not a good one.
You may not want to talk about it.
That's okay.
I mean,
nobody's gonna see you. Nobody's gonna see you.
Yeah, nobody's no one's gonna
this
see
you. This never happens. You don't ever have to run anybody.
Yeah, you don't have to say stuff you're gonna really regret later because you're sitting across from him.
That's what we do though. We grow. You can defer. Don't be too nice for a second. He's a big boy.
I'm a big boy, and we're here to talk.
That's
it's okay.
If he doesn't want to say it, he'll be vague and he'll be like, "I'm transitioning."
I can dodge. I can dodge and weave.
You can dodge.
Okay,
so
I'll leave you on.
What are your big ticket issues?
Here are my big ticket issues.
This is
honestly one of the biggest ones. I think I want to have kids. I think this is a job I'm going to be good at.
Oh, are you saying she doesn't want to have kids?
There are a lot of people out there like that. And
Why do I find that hard? That's a hard thing.
No, that's true.
Women?
It is true. There are a lot of people.
I always thought men didn't want to have kids.
But you can imagine people concerned with their careers and everything. You know,
It wasn't even that for her. If I understand it correctly, this is something that she's really sharp and sexy and in tune with herself, and she knows that this is not something that she would be able to contribute to 100% the way, you know,
I respect
parenting.
That, though.
Yeah,
respect that.
Just amazing, and that she was honest with me about it.
Yeah.
Things were dynamite between us. We were crazy about each other. She could have square pegged the round hole. And we could have stuck it out, and that's just a recipe for resentment, you know?
Right.
So the fact that we were able to talk about it and really look at it and then make the call and say...
How long were you all together?
It wasn't that long. We were like 7 months, but...
But that's good. I think that's pretty cool to be able to go, this is the direction you want to go with your life. You want to have a legacy. You want to have kids, right? That's something you want to do.
Yeah, I think it's a job I'd be good at. I just got to be the person to do the job
with. Absolutely. But I think that's really smart to be able to kind of assess... You know, this is something that's very important to you, and instead of dragging it out,
for the sake of not losing the person you're so crazy about, you know, but it really can bring up so much resentment, and you find yourself 7 years later with someone either you haven't had the kids, and you're looking at them saying, "Wow, you're the reason why I didn't get to have what I want, or you have the kids and she's busy in the carpool lane, you know, picking up the, you know, the little one, saying, what happened to me?
Is she a very career driven woman?
She's very motivated. She's a go getter. She's remarkable. She really is.
What age range is she? I mean, is she
like late 30s?
Late 30s. Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. So, but don't you think it was too soon after 7 months to already bring up children?
No, I think that's first date shit. I'm not gonna lie.
I think Kara's right.
Yeah.
It's kind of first date stuff.
I see.
What's the point? Like, I know I want to be married and have kids, and so if I'm with a guy, and it's a turn off to me, if I meet a guy that's not, he doesn't like the idea of marriage, or he doesn't like kids, there's something unsexy about it. I can't, it's biological, or it's just, I don't know, it's just like, passive. There's something.
It's because that's not what you're looking for.
Yeah, so it's not sexy.
Yeah.
It's like, not interested, because I had a boyfriend one time, stupid boyfriends, you look back, you're like, why did I date that guy? You don't know, you had a lobotomy at the time or something like that. And, oddly enough, he's a neighbor.
have to see him.
I do, but it's like 5 years ago. And but I remember one time, there was kind of the idea that I thought maybe, what if I was pregnant, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Thank God.
Mama was worried about the rabbit dying.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, oh my gosh. So we had a discussion, and he had this attitude about it. It was like, well, it's going to be okay, because look at us. We're both blonde and blue-eyed, and he said, we'll make a beautiful kid, and they'll be adopted so quick.
Oh!
And is that what he said?
Well, he said it more in a roundabout way, but I remember sitting there, and we just went to this beautiful art museum to see Ashes and Snow.
Uh-huh.
I remember the exhibit.
Good exhibit.
And I was sitting there fuming, like, who is this fucking pussy that I'm sitting next to?
It's okay. For
cussing, family. I'm sorry my family listens. I'm very sorry. I got to work on it. But my point is I was sitting there like, that is debase. To me, there's something. I'm not trying to make everybody bad that doesn't want kids. I'm saying there was something in that moment that I was like, this is so. There's no responsibility. There's no leadership.
That doesn't strike me as an issue about people who don't want kids. That strikes me as a guy who was scared shitless and didn't know how to get out of that conversation and that situation. So he was trying to say something soothing to you while also backing out slowly.
I think it's a douchebag thing to say.
Well, thank God he's not your douchebag anymore.
Oh, he's so not. He's not a bad guy. He's actually a cool guy. It's one of those things where you're like, you know what? Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking. Hey, good life. Somewhere else.
I will say this. Kara's not wrong. It was sort of, you know, these things come up in the beginning. When you realize you're with someone that looks sort of prospective long term, these things came up. I will say this about Jessica. It came up early. Mm-hmm. And she expressed a concern about, I don't know, I never thought I would have kids. This is why she's awesome. I think she stuck it out for all those months because she was giving us a chance to see if something would shake loose in her.
I see.
To see if she wanted, if like maybe it was different.
Mm-hmm.
That being that receptive to something that you hadn't considered before, it made her even more awesome to me. But then in the end,
that's
we had
beautiful.
To make the heart call, and we did it together, and we did it with respect. And now I'm single.
That's okay. You're not going to be single long.
He's on the loose for the next one.
He's a good-looking dude. He wants kids. You'll be good. You'll be good. He's got a purple. Nobody's hurting for you. I met this guy. Okay, so good guy friend of mine. Well, I'm a good guy, but like, whatever. He's totally hot, is what I'm trying to say. And he's recently single. And I'm like, there's just no empathy for you. I'm not going to have empathy for you.
Why?
Because he's got it going on. He's a great guy, and I know he's single, and he needs to do his single thing right now. But he's gonna, when the time's right, he'll meet the right woman.
Well, let me tell you something. It's hard for everybody. The grass is always greener. I had a shitty date like set up. My neighbor who I did.
Oh no, I want to hear this.
It was a shitty date. Clusterfuck party of one and a half.
When did this happen?
This was like a few weeks ago.
Okay.
My neighbor Stacy's like, I want you to meet somebody. She's a yoga instructor. She's really fit. She runs a business. I'm like, okay, just please, just. There's the level of crazy on this person. She's like, it's totally manageable crazy. No, it wasn't.
No,
it wasn't. This broad was 45 minutes late. Okay.
Really?
Okay.
Now she called for the first half hour and said, listen, I'm running late. I'm like, all right, well, I'm walking there already, but that's cool. I'll take a half an hour to do my thing, check some email.
Yeah.
Okay. Then she was 15 minutes late on top of it. I'm getting texts saying, I can't find parking. It's a nightmare. And I'm thinking, there's a fucking valet out front.
Uh-huh.
Come on, sister. And when she walked up, I'm like, is everything okay? Nothing heavy landed on you, did it? What happened? She's like, yeah, I just, you know, I don't valet. It's not my thing. And I honestly wanted to chew my I could not get out of there fast
enough. So you were already in a place of being turned off because she didn't respect your time.
Exactly.
And she kind of had like a, just, she kept pestering. You know, when people are like, "I'm on my way, I'm on my way."
I don't mind the pestering.
Really?
If you're bringing something to a specific relief, but if you're pestering and telling me why you're fucking it up even more, that's not a good start.
Like, don't let me. Okay.
That's not a good start. That's not a great way to get out of the gate. You
that's
know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah. So when you saw her, were you like overcome by her beauty to kind of? No, I'm getting the vibe. No, but I'm thinking like, but
just the vibe.
Do you know? Well, because you know, sometimes you can screw up, but then you just walk in and fluff it, and you're like, "Hey, I'm really sorry, shit went down." You know, "Hey, but I'm so glad I'm here now." And the guy's like, "Whoa, it doesn't matter."
Listen, I will tell you, she had great teeth and a great ass, and neither of those things helped me get past the fact that she had zero respect for my time.
That's really funny.
It was a first meeting, for crying out loud. When you're late, you tell people what you think about them.
And I hate when people are late, man. It shows, you know, it shows totally, like you said, no respect for the other people. Probably no respect for yourself either, you know?
Yeah.
Because
I'm in the room, Sam.
Yes, you are in the room. But you know what? You're late only a little bit, not 45 minutes.
Yeah, that's true. And I haven't been late in a while. I've been beating you recently. I've been getting
early. Although it has happened once when it's 9:05, I call her and I woke her up.
One time. I mean, normally I wake up early. But it was one of those crazy nights, and
one time.
It's just one time.
You blow up one building, you're a fucking terrorist for life.
But she's still here. So
was it a dinner date?
No. It was coffee. Let me tell you something about dating. You always want coffee to be the first date.
Patty Sternberg says from Bravo, Millionaire Matchmaker. She says coffee's an interview. She goes, drinks are. An odd, she says coffee's friends or something like that. Drinks are like an interview, and dinner's romance.
Yeah, but she's basically a high level pimp, you know? Yeah. That show. I know a guy.
You're right, but she's got some good points. I mean,
She's got some points. I don't know how good they are. I can tell you what works for me. Coffee has a very specific beginning, middle, and end. It's short. If it turns into a disaster like this one did, you can get out.
And it's affordable, too. I mean, you try, dating like 3-4 times a week and taking each one to dinner.
No, I think you should do a screening process. I just don't know if, like...
But how are you going to screen unless you meet them?
Yeah,
you're right,
Coffee's good.
But who valets at coffee, though? I mean, come on now.
they got valet at this joint that near my place that I like.
Yeah. It's like a valet for coffee? That's a little ridiculous.
That's not ridiculous.
Why?
First of all, there's no parking where I live. I understood her complaint.
Where do you live?
I live in Brentwood.
Yeah, there is no parking there anywhere.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful place to live.
I'm talking about Coral Tree Cafe.
By the way,
just said that, and one of my best buddies, David Bartman, just went, "Of course you were there trolling for chicks." He's always busting my chops about
why there? Take them there?
No, it's not that I take them there, but I have been there at least two other times in my single life where I've met people.
No, I meet people at coffee shops all the time. And I have a favorite date place that I go to. I have a place that it's a wine bar, and it's near my house, and I love it. And I've been on so many, like...
You like your spots.
Yeah, I've been on so many first dates and, not first dates, but a few dates
A lot of first
there.
Dates.
I do because...
She only does first dates.
No, because I enjoy dating. I mean, going on dates and meeting people. I have a good time. It doesn't have to have a romantic end. Like, it's like funny. So I had a little get-together last night. And so I've been doing... I haven't been doing, but I have to explain all this.
I heard the show earlier. You had your jam last night with the cheese and talk, right? And it turned into dancing, and that's why.
Yeah. Well, I invited a guy that I met like 30 minutes before.
Oh.
Hold on. No, it was great. It was great. But here's the thing, because I do this.
She didn't even bring it up.
I signed up for this Christian dating thing a while back. I don't do it now, but sometimes they're like, "Hey, come back in for 3 days free," and I'll be like, "Okay, let's check out the merchandise. Let's see what we got going on this month, Brian."
Do you love Jesus? Well, you're gonna love Steve.
Yeah, but it's never. There's just as many. I'm not just as many. It does filter out some of them, but there's still a bunch of like skeez guys.
Gotcha.
But this guy was really cool. He seemed really sweet, and I just love meeting people. I'm a little different because it doesn't have to be a romantic thing for me. So I was like, "Hey, we're having a get together like in 30 minutes. I don't know if you want to come." So he's like, "Yeah, what kind of wine should I bring? Like, bring a cab." Okay. So he shows up. We had a great time. Really cool guy. Not attracted to him. But he had so much fun.
Good.
He got a good laughs in, and he's probably, and I mean, I don't know if he'll want to do the friend thing and come back and do friend stuff, because I know guys generally aren't like that, but right. I think he wants to.
That's not true. Guys have to embrace that, but it's in us to meet people. People need people.
And I was just saying how...
People who need people are the luckiest. That's a joke just for Sam. I'm looking at you. You totally don't get that reference, do you?
No, I don't.
Oh, Sam!
Are we talking about Barbara Streisand?
Barbara Streisand.
Thank you.
Who need people? Okay.
I was going to say the kid didn't get the reference.
Yeah, no. But But he had a great time, and the reality is that, you know, we're saying L.A. can get lonely. It's
yeah.
Like, who doesn't just want to have dinner with people?
Yeah.
And joke around, like, be like, woo, look at my new dance yeah. I did.
It's
intimacy.
You run the risk of setting them up for, I wonder if she's into me.
But, I understand, and I try to be upfront about it.
But the right people will be able to examine and assess the situation they're in and say, oh, well, it's not a scam or a hookup. This is just a group of cool people, and I'm going to enjoy myself. The good thing about your little get-togethers are they're good barometers because you and your roommates will probably be able to tell, ugh, this guy thinks he's going to get laid, and then you'll know not to invite that cat back.
Yeah. And then, he was just such a great guy, and you know, we have the same spiritual beliefs, and it was a very authentic place for him, which I think is so refreshing when you can have those kind of intimate conversations. And he just was a really cool person, and we had a great time, and I know that he made friends with some of the people that were there, and it wasn't just him because there's a bunch of people that I didn't know very well that were there that we got to know, and I just thought it was awesome. But no, only me and my weird self would be like, hey, because I invited another dude one time because we were having one of these things, and I was like, sure, if you want to come over, this is what we're doing. He's like, yeah, I'm not really in the mood. I'm like, who's not in the mood to have fun?
Yeah.
Who's not in the mood? What, when do you got to get worked up to? I mean, I'm not that type of personality, but I'm like, when do you have to get in the mood to be around people and have fun? I mean, unless you're burnt out and you've had a long day. But generally, who's got to get in the mood to have a good time and good food?
Well, hang on. Listen, this guy probably spared you an evening of, oh, who invited that guy? Because he was
you know
up
what? And you're right. And so that in that case, yeah. But I don't identify with that mentality. No. Especially when it's like a hot, fun girl that's like, hey, we're going to have a really great time. And I wish you tonight. Maybe shut up and have a great time. Woo!
Did you think maybe you scared the shit out of him? Maybe you were like,
yes, you stopped talking like that.
With your cleavage and your big smile and all that stuff.
No, I didn't do it. It wasn't like that. But,
well, it sounds like Mama made a new friend last night. So that's good.
A friend.
Yeah,
friend.
Get down with your bad self. Nice
get
work.
Get down with your
she
bad self.
She makes a lot of friends.
But no, I do.
A lot of broken hearts.
No, I think it's fun, though. What's wrong with it? I mean, I know people.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Everyone wants to get laid. I get it. Everybody wants to do it. I get it. I totally get it. But I'm saying people need people, and it's okay to embrace, like you said.
There's a decidedly Chicago thing about what you just said. Every time you people talk about getting together and meeting new people and just chilling, people in Chicago are like that.
Oh, are
Chicago's really? A great city for just friends getting together, and I think it stems from a long, hard winter.
Yeah,
when
probably.
Springtime rolls around in Chicago, the bars are full, everyone's on a softball team, the parks are full, and everyone's having everybody over because they've been so isolated all winter.
That's
long.
So interesting.
That they have these things where, hey, we're just hanging out, and it's not a hookup, it's not a this. And they God bless these people from Chicago, when they end up moving to L.A., they bring that attitude with them. I've met so many cool Chicago. My first serious girlfriend, Chicago person.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you ever live there?
No, never did. I love Chicago.
So you seem to know a lot about them without having lived there.
Yeah, I've been there, and I've met people, some of my dearest friends still live there. I go to Chicago. I've said it a million times. Chicago would be the best city in the country if it wasn't for the damn weather.
Really?
Oh, it's crippling.
Really?
Oh.
That's one place
I've heard it's an amazing city, though. Yeah. Like, the lifestyle's pretty amazing.
Go. I'm telling you, go. In the early in the summer, they have something called the Taste of Chicago. It happens around 4th of July weekend.
Uh-huh.
This is a party.
Really?
Every restaurant in Chicago puts out booths. It's like a 3-4 day event, and then
what
of course,
month is it?
It's July. It's usually around the 4th of July. Google the Taste
cool.
of Chicago.
Cool.
Yeah. If you're lucky, the Cubs are in town. You can go see a Cubs game.
There
yeah.
you go. You see, except it's a windy city. I wouldn't
yeah,
feel
he's,
very comfortable.
Yeah, he's bitching about wind.
I hate wind.
It's a misnomer. It's
I know. I
yeah,
know.
I love it.
Oh, it is. It's not really windy.
It's not any windier than any place else.
No. Why do they call it the Windy City?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Why do they call New York the Big Apple? I don't know. Do you know it?
I know why I always called the Apple. Oh yeah, the Apple. Remember I told you that yesterday?
Yeah.
This lady, these people from South Africa, amazing people. But one of the hosts, she showed me her house and beautiful person. And I think there's just a real free love vibe and not a lot of boundaries. But they had this really wonderful painting of this woman that was very, very big hips and big thighs. And
Botticelli-esque.
What does that mean? Is that what
Botticelli
that
liked to paint curvy women.
Right.
Oh, well, this was
like
hardcore.
Rubenesque, right?
But it was kind of like an abstract photo. But then in the middle of where her vagina was, there was a big apple.
Mm-hmm.
And she's explaining to me, she's like, yeah, the apple represents health and like generosity. And she's like,
for a second there, you got Schwarzenegger, and then you brought it back to South Africa.
Yeah, but she's like, yeah. But then she starts doing like a circular motion on my vaginal area.
She touched your hoo-ha?
Yeah, she actually did. Yeah. She's like this, and she was actually doing this. She's like, yeah, the area. And I was like, hey, hold up.
Time out.
A little to the left, okay? But no, I had a couple drinks. And
if you're
going
to do that, dim the lights.
Yeah, I had a couple drinks, and it took me off guard. Yeah. And I was like, does she really? Because women aren't sexual predators, and it wasn't a sexual thing on her part. But
women are sexual predators.
No, they're not. They're not. Oh, they're not. They're not okay. Sexual predators. So if a guy did that, you'd be like, punch. But a woman, you're like, okay, she's demonstrating something. But she's like, yeah, yeah. And she kept wax on, wax off. And I had a couple
she miyagi'd your hoo-ha?
She did. And I was just standing there, and I was like, this is a great party.
Yeah. This is an awesome party. Mama's noonie just got
rubbed. Yeah, I did. I was standing there. I was like, this isn't happening. This just happened. Uh-huh. Yeah. A couple drinks.
But it
good.
Shows you how warm and close they can be, you know, where they can feel, they can touch you and everything. I'm sure there wasn't anything.
Yeah, she actually wasn't too invasive, but the fact that she was even touching it, I was like, oh, because you don't do that.
You don't do that.
Even if you touch it like a boob or something, you don't do that. You know what I mean? So, but I've gotten so much leverage out of that night. Oh, such a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're good people. I love me some South Africans.
Yeah, I know a handful of South Africans.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do, and I dig them too. They're
very cool people.
Watch your head. Instead of saying heads up, they say watch your head. But I like this one guy who watch your head. Yeah. Watch your head. And I had to explain to him. He's like, what the fuck is he saying? And he's telling you heads up, man. Just look out.
Oh, that's funny.
Watch your head.
I love it. I love it. And you lived in South Africa. You
I did.
Did
like,
you?
Yeah, like when they say just now, they mean later. You know,
where we say,
So that's and there's a lot of funny things about the language or the way they use it.
Well out, they say. I've heard that one too.
Yeah,
Did you live in Joburg or where did you live?
Yeah, in Johannesburg
they
for
call
a year.
It Joburg.
Come on, Joburg. Oh, it's up to no good. Oh, that doesn't
rhyme. I love it. Joburg. That's cool. Yeah, I love meeting a lot of new people. They're lovely. They're like, come back anytime. And I think I'm going to be doing a comedy show in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And so maybe they'll come, and maybe I'll stop. They don't know yet. Hey guys, can I stage please? Hey, I'll be there. I'm doing a gig.
Hey,
I'm come coming. Strolling in. I'll be just, you know, falling over.
I'm sure you're a marvelous house guest.
Oh, I don't know, but they're just very sweet. They're very sweet, and they have to keep the wine flowing, and everything's going, and everyone's having fun. They're like, "Do you want to do pot?" Which I've never done, and
Did they say do pot? I love it.
Smoke pot, or I don't know. I don't know what they said.
Because there is terminology that has shifted over the course of generations. Uh-huh. It's gone from so. Do you guys have any grass?
Yeah.
Grass. They don't call it grass anymore. Do you want to do pot?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the way I internalized it, but I'm not sure what they said specifically, but it wasn't
ganja
major.
Probably
ganja.
Yeah,
ganja.
I love it.
So
but I remember when I lived there actually and we wanted to smoke over there, they have like they make like home delivery. They'll bring it to you.
They'll bring weed to you.
To you.
Damn, brother. Well, California's gonna be like that soon, so you might just get that back.
Yeah.
where are we in the legalization process of this? Because it's already legal with medical marijuana in California, but it's still not federally.
It's federally might not happen in our generation.
Not in our generation.
No, but California apparently is gonna be the test case. The fact that California is looking at legalizing marijuana. It's going to stem, like all these things always stem, from a financial crisis.
Right.
You know, the prohibition essentially cost too much money to keep in place back in the 20s.
Oh,
and that's why they repealed it. The state of California is in so much debt that they're looking at the opportunity of generating income.
That's so interesting.
I mean, it always comes down to dollars and cents. You could have, I mean, states especially have different puritanical bents about what does and doesn't work for them as independent states. California always has this sort of, you know, left-leaning, we're ahead of the curve, where you can do things here that other states can't do. But really, we're as conservative as any other state, and when it comes down to we're running out of money, that's when they'll look at legalizing pot.
Interesting, huh?
Not only that, but I think we made the first step, and that is, you know, the medical marijuana. I mean, as long as it's decriminalized, then I think the door is open.
I think so too, and that's a good way of saying it. They're talking about decriminalizing pot, not legalizing.
Exactly, which is the same in Amsterdam as well, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like legal, but... Yeah, but it's not a big deal. They don't come after you.
Yeah, you're not going to go to jail for sparking up a doobie. And I'm going to go on record as saying this. I don't smoke pot. I don't get high. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to suddenly run out and start getting high just because it's been decriminalized or legal.
Right.
I think parents groups especially, you have just as big a responsibility to tell kids and teach kids that these things are good for you and these things are bad for you, whether they're legal or not. Listen, drinking a fifth of gin is legal. But you don't want your kids doing it, for crying out loud. It's the same thing.
That's true, yeah.
I guess, well, I guess just to take an opposing viewpoint, because this will just be not fun if I agree. It just won't be fun. I get that I don't have much of an argument for the legalization process. I don't really have much of an argument to say that we have the right to tell people what they can numb out to. Mm-hmm. But do I get excited about another notch in the cultural belt that we're saying, guess what we can do now? We can legally smoke pot or not go to jail for it. I can't say that I think that that's something virtuous about that. I can't say that culturally that reflects something highly of our society. Although legally, I get it. I mean, if you put it in the same bracket of some of the prescription pills that are out there, and you know, and liquor and things like that, I can't really say that marijuana should be isolated and singled out as worse. I can't say that. But I just, at the same time, when I look at it culturally, what we reflect as a society, are we so liberated, really? You know,
it's how these things are framed. I mean, guys like, you know, there's a political strategist named Frank Lutz. The guy's amazing. He makes a killer living framing messages for the right and the GOP. It's how you sell things. Mm-hmm. He's the guy who coined something about national security and how it's not torture. It's something else. Mm-hmm. Honestly, the guy is, as some people would call him, an evil genius. But it's how you couch it. If you are talking about how there's no cultural gain to being able to tell the rest of the world, yeah, come to California so you can get lit, as opposed to framing it as, look, we're responding to the needs of our citizens as well as the fiscal realities we live with in this state, mm-hmm. then people will look at it and go, oh, okay, I get that. And there's a it's responsible to sell it as such too, because we've got crushing financial problems in this state. I'm not Pollyanna. I don't, people are going to get high. My thing is, why doesn't the state make money if they're going to do it?
Yeah.
You know, because the road.
And that's been the question for a long time, you know, and they spend so much money on fighting it that it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
We're spending so much dough incarcerating people because of weed.
Well, you know, I see the argument. I really don't have a big enough argument other than I don't really look at it as like this shining beacon of like, oh, we're so liberal.
Well, it's not that's about really, that. Though,
yeah. And I hear what he's saying. I totally agree. I mean, I just think that, you know,
yeah,
I just, I'm not, well,
I just think, well, as long as liquor is legal, I think pot should
well,
be
and I
well,
think you're right, you know? Maybe it's been totally it's been the light that it's been shed on it has been completely unfair and probably demonized for other reasons, and I see that. I guess I'm just saying, you know, I don't know, I just think that. And for such an amazing state, we're about the first state to almost declare bankruptcy. I don't know.
Well, speaking of pot and touching yourself.
Did I do that?
Those two go together very well.
They go together like rama lama lama kadingy da dingy dong. I have a new short film. I mentioned to you that I got something that I wanted to promote.
Yeah, let's go ahead and hear about that.
I've directed and finally put the finishing touches on this short film that I made. It's called Jerk Offs.
Wow.
Yes.
Pretty telling.
Is it about that?
It's about the log line is, ladies, it's what your husbands talk about when you're not around.
Really?
And it's four husbands sitting around playing poker talking about how, when, and why
they do.
They jerk off.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
Yep.
No, Reese.
I'm telling you.
No.
The funny thing is, my first short film was this very socially conscious message about accepting people. It was about bias against gays, and I got into some cool film festivals, and I still like go to schools and talk about tolerance and stuff. And then I had just written to somebody. I said, remember how my first short film had a real socially conscious message? This one, yeah, not so much.
Yeah. So okay. So let's talk about masturbation then with men.
Okay.
Can we?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Sure.
So. You're single, so it doesn't count. But
why does it not count?
Because okay, when you were in a relationship.
See, she thinks when you're in a relationship, why do it, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, for a lot of reasons.
No, none.
Hang on for a second. I'm going to give you a perspective that I don't even fully have, but I see my friends and two of my sisters are married. When you have kids, apparently, finding time for physical intimacy is a constant struggle.
Mm-hmm. If I understand true, it correctly, but I think that it is, because I think my to that, okay, uh-huh. Which was, for those of you guys couldn't see that was my counterpoint to that, is
her hand gesture / counterpoint.
Yeah.
Because people have the wrong priorities, because people get so bogged down with having to be everywhere at the same time. We're trying to always be attached to something technological and talk to somebody and da, 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 and we're trying to manage our family and blah, 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 blah. And I have friends that are married that do struggle with this. But the reality is that, you know what? Make that a huge priority. A huge priority. Do it in the middle of the night when you're and like roll over on the person.
And that comes from a woman who's never been married, right?
So,
yeah. So you know, so? Because you're being very idealistic. It's not like that.
Whatever, okay? Sam.
Besides, what's
it out.
Wrong with self-love? What's wrong with that?
Because I think that it's like you've been given a gift, and sex to me is about oneness. It is about selflessness towards that person. So when you're sitting there gratifying yourself, I'm not saying it's unnatural. I'm not saying it's bad. But I'm just saying in light of the fact that there's somebody there that loves you, that you guys should be taking. I mean, this is ideal. It is ideal, but that's what we strive for, right? You begin with the ideal.
Right, but it requires too much thought.
Oh, I know.
Thing is
it's
all
just
about,
so much fucking
let
work.
Let me pull it out and just. You know, rub
so
one
much
out
work.
Real quick.
So, do you get jealous at the idea that a man that loves you is?
If I was married and I found my husband jacking off, do you know how pissed I'd be?
Oh my
I would
God.
Be so pissed. I say, look fair. At this. Look at how much I love you. What the f?
Come on.
Why are we not doing it? Do it on me.
What if
do it all over
dude,
me.
What
I'm
if
just
he,
saying. Wait. Why? I don't care. I would be like.
Do it all over. You want
I'm
to blow.
I'm just telling you. Yeah, because yeah, I want
blow
to.
Blow your cock's knot right on me, honey.
No, I'm
it's
just
fine.
Saying I want that intimacy. Like, I don't want my husband having that kind of space apart from it, from the person he's in love with and stuff.
That is too high a standard. What if
no,
he's thinking
not.
Of you while he's doing
That's
it?
That's bullshit. Then I'm in the other room. Knock, knock, knock. If I'm not in the other
what
room.
What if you're at the Ralph's?
Then he needs to either wait or listen. If he's in a different state or city on a trip, yeah, then do it. But I'm talking about if I'm there and I, hey, what are you doing? Hey, I'll be out in a second. No, you will not be out of the second. Put it up. We need to have a chat. I'll be so pissed.
Now, what about women that masturbate? I mean,
same thing. Like, what's the point? If you're married, like, unless he's depriving you, which I don't believe you guys should deprive one another. If he's depriving you or he's not physically there, then yes, I understand.
You're in such fucking denial.
No, I'm not in denial. Because guess what? Ask me 10 years in my marriage.
She has an idyllic view of these things. And you know what? She's setting the bar high. I dig that about you.
There's nothing wrong with that because there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just like, what? That is
but he was fuck you to say.
You got so upset.
No,
oh, he saying. Better not be jacking his fucking pile. Oh.
I will be so upset. No, I really would
if
be.
If you're in there punching the clown, you just
that's
stay
funny.
In there.
I just am like, that's just like sad.
Would that
guys?
Be grounds for divorce for you?
No.
No, but it would certainly be grounds for him sleeping on the sofa. Yeah. That's for sure.
I'm like, if,
jack
I'm
it up
saying,
even more.
Just no. a vicious circle.
I'm just saying, why? Why, when you were in love with somebody?
There are so many reasons why. Listen, love is complicated. Love is a many splendored thing. Love lifts us up where we belong. Love is hard. It's a constant struggle. I wanted to bring this up, too, because you had a guest on earlier this week that was talking about the Gladwell book, Outliers.
Yes.
I love this book.
I just started reading it.
You're going to love every page of it. Gladwell's my favorite author right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, he talks about how things that go right or things that go wrong, it's never about one thing. It's always about a series of things that happen in the course of a lifetime or even the course of a day that make things go right or wrong. Mm. In a marriage, you never know why the opportunity comes up where you are turned on by something and your wife's not there. It sounds to me like you would take it so personally,
yeah.
But it's not about – listen, masturbation is the ultimate act of self.
Mm-hmm. Self.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not wrong.
Yeah,
it's self love.
But she's not about. She's totally
That's
not
my
about
point.
Self.
That's
why
point.
She's talking like
no,
that.
No, yeah. It goes back to your view of sex. Basically, is what it sexuality. It goes back to what you believe in sexuality. Because mm-hmm. This is what I believe. And this is what I'm yelling about. Because the root of it, which we differ on, is I believe sex is not sexuality is so broad, but I mean. The act of sex, right,
mm-hmm.
is I believe a gift, a God-given gift,
mm-hmm.
and I believe that it's something for people to unite, and there's a oneness. I understand we got it's in the clouds right now. I'll take it down to reality.
Sex is natural. Sex is fun. Sex is best when it's one-on-one.
Yeah. Got George Michael.
What?
Sex is natural. Sex is fun. Da 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 da. One. Anyway, I want y'all. Anyway, my point of this is to suggest that. The idea of sex, I believe, that God gives is for there's a physical bonding, but there's also an emotional and spiritual intimacy that takes takes place, even if you're
if it's done right.
No, even if you're not making love, and maybe there's like an animalistic side to
if
it.
If you're fucking.
Yeah, okay. But if you're in the context of that relationship.
Of a committed relationship.
Yeah, of the relationship. That there's something about it that I think there's so much that goes on behind the scenes in sex emotionally and unity-wise with people that when you start to have your separate sex lives with yourself apart from one another, there is the opportunity for there to be some discord and disconnect.
Okay.
And I think that ultimately sex is for the other person. And if you're servicing that person because you love them so much, and it's not always because I'm so in love with you, but maybe it is animalistic at the time, but you're servicing them because you're putting them before you and they're doing that to you because they love you so much. That is, that's beautiful. And that's the way it should be.
Right. But that's the thing is that what about the times when you don't have the time or the inclination
not there.
To satisfy the other person?
I understand.
You know, you just want like a quick release.
Well, then learn how to do quickies with each other. Like, fucking work it out. Like,
wow.
I would quickie.
The paradise in your head must be spectacular.
Yeah,
and I would love to visit.
Yeah, realistic.
And there's nothing wrong with it. But
I'm
I will tell you this. Guys will tell you, too.
I'll do a quick one.
Jerking off sometimes will keep them out of trouble.
Yeah, it does.
I'm talking about tiger trouble. Yeah, I'm talking about Jesse James scumbag trouble.
Tiger trouble.
But first of all, those guys are in a fucking pantheon all of their own. But your basic garden variety, run-of-the-mill husband/boyfriend, the thing that will keep them from even entertaining the thought of bringing their sugar to another woman is I'm gonna punch the clown. I'm gonna clean the pipes.
Why
and then
not
that's
just
out
do
of
that? But when the woman's still there, he can't get off to her.
No, what are you talking about?
Like if she's in another room and he doesn't want to be.
I'm talking about like.
Yeah,
if
you don't do it when they're in another room.
I'm not. Listen, if
you're talking
if you,
when she's not there.
Yeah. If you and I are married, all right, and you're home, the first thing I'm going to do is say,
"That's what I'm talking about."
Baby, what are you doing? But if you're not, I'm serious. If you're at the Ralph's and I get the urge, if I like George Costanza, see Glamour magazine, I was alone. I'm gonna drop trout. I'm gonna get biz and izzy, and you want me to be that guy as opposed to saving it up and letting my mind. I'm not saying it would.
I'll be back in an hour. Can you let it marinate for a bit?
How about I take care of business and then I still do it again
in an
hour.
And
what if you're not in the mood? What if you're not in the mood?
Yes.
I will get in the mood because I believe biblically and what marriage and because what I believe sexually, like the Bible talks about, is that your body. I know this is stressing you out. You got stressed.
Your body is a wonderland.
She's like,
I don't see how you can turn yourself on and off like that.
I think
she can. Apparently.
No, I just think it's like you get in the mood because your husband is there, and it's not like a robotic thing, but you just you see
sex
it.
Sex with robots.
But you know, there's.
That can be
I'm not saying every time you do it, there's going to be like freaking fireworks. I understand that, but there's an active like, you know, you can work on it, and you'd make a sacrifice to be there for that for
you're
for your
talking
partner.
About intimacy on every level, and
yeah.
I really dig that.
No, but
I really
it's good.
Do.
It's healthy.
It can be. Well, I do want to say this. So if you want a perspective. If you want to see my warped view on it, you can go to funnierdie.com/rescolchin, G-O-L-C-H-I-N, and go check out Jerk Offs. It's only 4 minutes long, but it's for the filthiest minutes you'll enjoy.
It is, and I saw you posted something. I haven't had a chance to listen, but it's on Facebook
right? And then I put it on Facebook, and you can just click on the link. It'll take you to the Funny or Die site, and we had a good time. I got to do this, you know, with friends and very talented
people. How long
did
it take to do?
We shot it in one night, essentially.
One night.
And I will tell you this, you know, I got as a filmmaker, I got so full of myself. I told all my friends and the actors, I said, we're going to shoot this. I'm going to get it up on the web as soon as I possibly can. And then while I was editing, I'm like, ooh, I should go to film festivals. I fell in love with
the sound of my own
fucking voice. Yeah, but you know what? It took many, many more months than it should have because film festivals don't want anything that's already been on the web. They have very specific rules about if it's premiered on the web. So... And it takes months to submit. Mm-hmm. I mean, you submit, but then it takes them months to announce their lineup. So I tried to do the thing. It was like, I want to go to film festivals. And then when I got rejected a couple of times, I'm like, what am I doing? I'm such a dick. Let me just put it on Funny or Die. So I sent this email to everyone involved. I'm like, guys, I'm so sorry. This took so long. I'm feeling such a procrastinator. But you're all so awesome. And I will tell you this, in particular, there's a terrific performance by an actress named Stacey Lawrence, who plays my wife. She's the only woman. She's the only estrogen in the movie, and she fucking nails it. She hits it so out of the park. It's
really
awesome. Yeah, so it's well worth seeing. Again, it's at funnierdie.com/resculchin.
How do you spell that?
R-E-E-S-E-G-O-L-C-H-I-N.
Can
like
you
Nancy.
Post something somewhere? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I'll...
We'll put a link on our website.
LA Talk Radio or Sam.
Yeah, well, on our page,
yes,
we're going to put a link.
Go to Sam and Kara's page, and there'll be a link so you can check it out. It's a world of funny. But it's filthy. It's totally not safe for work.
Jerking off.
It's called jerk-offs, so yes.
Watch
and enjoy.
Wow, the world of guys.
Yeah, you see, you should watch that. Maybe you'll learn a thing or two.
Whatever, I'll be pissed off and be like, oh, that's why I'm not getting married. I will be pissed. I'm
that right there!
I'm not. Listen. You know what? I don't expect the person I'm with to be perfect. I don't.
They just have to be perfect for you. Honey, you are going to find the guy. You are going to walk on the ground
he
worships.
Yeah, and he's going to be on such a short leash, that guy.
You know what? Maybe, but maybe it'll be the leash he wants to be on.
No, I'm not going to. I don't want. That's the thing. I don't want to babysit.
No, but you've got everything all figured out, and it's in a box and everything.
So I'm not a pack.
And try to fit someone in that box is going to be hard.
You know what? There's expectations. There's some boundaries. That's not called a box. That's called, you know what, some respect. That's called having the same vision. That's not the same thing.
Yeah.
But second of all,
but you think too much about sex and how it should be rather than just letting it happen.
You know
sex
what? Because I believe I want something
yourself.
Different than this bullshit. I want something different than what's hanging around.
She wants what she wants.
Yeah,
damn it.
I don't want. You know what? I don't want this bullshit. I don't want the.
Can you define?
I don't know. This lady's getting hammered next to me. she's our neighbor. The woman won't shut up.
I got some drunk whore on my sofa, and I don't want what she wants.
No, the lady next door. She won't shut up. She's getting it hardcore, and it does not sound like it's good sex. I'm just trying to tell you.
So LND is getting rammed, and it doesn't sound good?
It doesn't sound good.
LND, lady next door.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
You can have that one.
LND, lady next door.
So would you talk to the roommates?
No.
Did you hear LND last night?
Yeah, no, I yelled at her one time.
Did you?
I was like, shut the window! It's creepy. I don't want to hear your stuff.
I don't want to hear it either.
That's true.
I don't want to hear it either.
But then I was singing in the shower, and I had my bathroom
window
open,
yeah.
And I didn't realize I was singing that loud, but I can. And she was like, shut your window! And
oh, that's retaliatory, and that's bullshit. Singing is different than listening to people
talk. It is
fuck.
Different, but the reality is that I have no problem being quiet if she'll shut up. But it doesn't matter. She's not going to shut up. I don't know. There's something about they want to be heard, I think.
Yeah, I dated one like that. She was a screamer. And all I could think of when we were doing it was, oh, my God, my neighbor
just
upstairs.
Yeah, shut up. Yeah, I know. Close all the windows and everything.
Was it a production for the sake of...
No, no.
Was it natural
for her? Listen, I think it was incredibly organic, but I really hovered between, wow, I'm giving this girl a ride of her life, and man, I hope my neighbors don't
hear please
this.
Shut up. You
there
know,
was some anxiety.
Take the pillow over her head.
Yeah, she was loud.
I've heard men talk about there's like this thing with women that they've either been taught to do this or they've watched too much porn and they try to be the thing in the movie and it's not real.
That. I can
Have
tell
you guys
you,
experienced that?
I can tell you this much. There's nothing sexy about a guy being that loud.
Yeah.
Guys should never be that loud.
No, you're
That's a weenie shrinker for
guys
a girl.
Guys should not be heard, period.
Yeah,
right?
You should be all cool. You should. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I want to hear a guy. I don't
you don't want a guy go,
it's too feminine.
Yeah, that's the ladies'
job. Okay, I'm done. Can you wrap it up?
You're ruining it for Mama. Will you please stop?
Can you wrap this up for me, please? Let's finish this up. So speaking of jerk-offs and all that stuff, so dating, you went on this date. Where are you with the dating thing now? Are you doing internet stuff or no?
Oh, no.
You're too good for that?
No, it's not that I'm too good for
judging people like me?
No. I will tell you this. I tried it years ago. Oh, my God. I went on like Match, okay? I narrowed all these responses. It's crazy. I narrowed it down to like five, and I did the coffee thing. I met like the third one for coffee, and coffee went great. It actually went longer. We stayed together for hours. We hung out. We made out a little. Then I met number four. Not kidding. Number four was number three's best friend.
Really?
And number three found out and called me up like, where did you get off going out with my best? I'm like, whoa, keep your guns in your holster, Eddie Oakley. I had no idea. Drama-rama. Because three and four were best friends. Then they started fighting about who was going to see. I was out.
Wow.
A burning building. I could not run the fuck out of there fast enough. I deleted my account, and I'm like, no, I got to meet them through my friends because this is fucking bullshit right here.
Yeah.
Wow.
I could, in a city of 7 million people, four was number three's best friend. Best friend. And like thinking back about it, because I you know, we went back to her place to make out, number three. I was looking at pictures. I'm like, oh, you got pictures of all your friends. After four was identified as the best friend, I'm like, oh my God, I've seen a picture of you on a fridge.
That's so funny.
It was crazy.
Whoa.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that again.
Yeah.
No, it's interesting. I'm not like some connoisseur of it. I just, like I said, from time to time, I get this little offer. But it's interesting because it kind of prolongs some of the inevitable. Like, you can see a photo and you can do the verbal the chat or the phone. But the reality is 90% of communication is nonverbal, and you need to see that initial attraction. There's no way to get around it. You can paint the picture a certain way. You can maybe get your foot in the door, and you can talk. But the reality is it's all going to come – everything's going to come to the front.
Some people are just not honest with themselves, so they don't think they're going to be found out.
Yeah.
You know, but I think in general, look, the thing is it's just like anything else. You've got to go through a lot of people to find the right one.
You've got to kiss a lot of frogs before you get the prince,
exactly.
Baby.
You know, just like in sales, you got to go through a lot of no's before you get a yes.
Yep.
And this is the same thing. You will find someone there. It might take you a while. You might have to go through a few people.
Yeah.
But there are some people out there. I think it's effective.
I'm not stressed.
And I don't frown on internet dating as a concept or as, you know, as a tool for people. I'm just saying my particular experience, I took it as a sign. Yeah. So I got out. But I like meeting people organically. Like Jessica through friends, and that's kind of like the good. That's why when my neighbor said I know somebody and I like my neighbor, she's, you know, our dogs are best friends. So I was like, yeah, I'll do it.
Her being late. Incredibly late.
It was kind of enough for me.
It was just the teeth and the ass just weren't working out.
The teeth and the ass were great, but then you know, I'm a good communicator, good follow-up person. I called her and I said, listen, it was nice to meet you. You sound like you got a lot of interesting things going on. It's probably not a love connection, but you know, Stacy tried and that's really nice and I wish you luck. Apparently she's stressed out about this message. She called my neighbor Stacy. She's like, I was just there to meet a friend, and bless my friend Stacy. She's like, bitch, you were not. You were there to see if this guy was hot and you wanted to date him. I was like, you didn't say that. She's like, I had enough of that girl. I can't believe she was late for you. It was nice. She had my back.
Yeah, I think that's really sweet because I'm actually kind of like that with people. I'm very direct, and I think it does throw people off when it comes to this category. I think people, they like some of the ambiguity because because they're a little bit they don't want to be rejected.
Yeah.
But I'm like so cool about it. I'm like, look, you know, I got a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
I've got five husbands. I got asked out the other day. We all went out and this guy asked me out. He was really nice, but I just wasn't feeling it. He's like, can I take you out for dinner? I said, you know, I really appreciate it, but you know, I've got like 10. I'm booked. I said, no, really. It just wouldn't be fair.
You see how tough it is being a man. You have to deal with all this bullshit.
But you know what? Every girls have their stuff too.
Yeah, it's just different stuff.
They have their stuff too. But you know, guys, I think that, you know, I feel like guys do not take rejection well, and I think that's why it's harder.
Yes.
Because they're expected to be the leader and initiator, and then they get
the hunter gatherer,
mm-hmm. and they get rejected and they don't take it well. So that combination. But I think women, you know, get rejected too in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
Yes.
You know?
You just process it differently.
Yeah, women. I mean, women. You know, there's a lot of different things. You know, there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure. If the guy doesn't call and.
I thought this guy was asking me out.
Yeah.
And
if you say it quietly, nobody will hear.
Did you hear about Sylvia Rothman? Cancer.
Yeah, like I thought this guy was asking me out, and so I got a little excited, and I was like, yeah, okay, well, let's do this, you know. He wasn't really asking.
Oh, snap!
But you know what? The reality is that it didn't like crush me.
But did you do like your flirty hair thing and like you rub your shoulder at him?
Yeah, it does. It worked. I'm just not his type, so that shit doesn't work on him.
Oh. Oh,
he's probably like, why are you ticking? Why do you keep stressing? No, but I'm like,
why do you keep rubbing your shoulder?
It didn't like crush me. It didn't crush me. It really wasn't a big deal. I was like, oh, because I wasn't that.
Yeah, he didn't want it bad enough.
Well, no, I just like the experience. So I would have gone out and had a great time. And I know that. He's not somebody I would really.
I would have loved to have been there for the gear shift to see you go from like the Sharon Stone head toss giggle thing to finding out he's not into me. Going, oh man! And then all of a sudden you're at the post office. It's like, all right, well that's cool.
Well, no, this happened via email.
Oh.
But then he's a friend, so he showed up at my thing last night.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, literally, not a big deal.
Yeah,
I just
now
made a joke.
Post.
I was like, yeah, last Thursday I was waiting for you all day. Where the hell were you? I was at that fucking restaurant for like 3 hours straight, 5 margaritas in. Where were you? No, because and he got it. I didn't want him to feel weird.
These kids
either.
Today with their long hair and their rock and roll.
There you go.
I'm just saying. I'm just telling you. I did. But my point is that it didn't crush me. And well, first of all, I'm like,
you're still standing.
I'm still standing.
There you go.
More music references today. I don't know what's going on.
But my point is, you know, you get. It's not a big ordeal. I mean, it never really happens to me like that. But the reality is, it's not a big deal.
Doesn't kill you. Makes you
stronger. You should have a humility about yourself where you realize, you know what. You're not going to be everybody's type, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's okay.
You have a good perspective, Karen.
It's okay. You know, have fun.
That's good. Yeah. Well, we are out of time. Reese, go ahead and give the link again.
Thank you very
much.
Yeah, but you can watch Jerkoffs at funnyordie.com/Reese Gulchin, and I'm sure my good friend Sam will put something up on
Funny or Die, right?
Funnyordie.com. That's Will Ferrell and Adam McKay's website.
Oh, really?
There's a lot of funny shit on there.
Really?
Those
guys
were the sponsors of the Los Angeles Comedy Shorts.
Yeah, so. They're awesome. I heard you talking about that, too. Yeah, they're hilarious, and they've got a great short of their own on called The Carpet Guys. Oh, it was
really?
On HBO the other night. And I snotted myself. I laughed so hard. It was great. But yeah, go to you can have that one.
I'm totally gonna. I've probably done it. I need it.
Funnyordie.com / Reese Gulchin. Go watch Jerkoffs.
Thank you so much for joining us, man. We're going to have to do it again for sure. You know?
I'd love that.
We'll have you come in earlier, and then you can sit here for a couple hours, because it seemed like time just flew.
Yeah, you should come on. He's a talker. He likes his shit.
Yeah, definitely.
You're good at it. You're good at it.
And you're a lot of fun, for sure.
Yeah, totally
So
fun.
Good luck with the movie and everything.
Thanks,
you guys.
That's
awesome. I mean, you know, making a movie, I don't think I could ever make one, so I salute you for that.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
And,
good luck. I mean... congratulations on that. I just need to jump on the bandwagon and be nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on.
You're
thank
all
you for...
warm and squishy. I like you. Thank you, sweetheart.
Okay, that's Kira. Funny. Thank you all for joining
Sam,
us.
Hey, Sam, be good. I'll see you Monday.
See you tomorrow. Yeah, she thinks it's Friday today.
Oh, it's Friday.
Up here, it's always Friday.
Tomorrow is Friday. See you tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, originating from the Los Angeles Talk Radio Studios. If you have questions about the show or would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.